Streaming 24/7.
Oh my God, it's better than I thought.
This is Radio Influence.
All right. Flavor. Please tell your neighbors, Ian Beckles with flavor in your ear. Wake up, sports, music, and fashion. Best of podcasting. What's going on now and what's soon to happen? Be sure to stick around, no fast forward or skipping. Dropping jewels, you don't want to miss them. Make sure you listen. Ian Beckles with the flavor in your ear. The voice of the people's here. It's here.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Flavor in Your Ear. My name is Ian Beckles. I appreciate you guys tuning in. Just straight off, right off the bat, I have two different podcasts, Flavor in Your Ear. I also have In the Trenches. If you guys are big football Buccaneer fans, you can check that out on Radio Influence and iTunes and all of the above. But Flavor in Your Ear is my podcast where I talk a little politics, let's talk a little pop culture, and with some of the things going on in our world. So it's a very eventful world that we do live in right now. If you look out your door, it might not be eventful, but if you live in California, I could imagine, you know, looking at some of those clips and some of the videos of people, what they're going through in California, I could not imagine going through that. Because do yourself a favor and Google some photography. You'll see some pictures of stuff that you don't see in the craziest movies ever. It looks like hell. When you see movies that are, you know, in hell, that's what California looks like right now. And I don't know if there's an inexpensive part of California, but it's messing around in Bel Air and places where there's big willies and people with big money. That's some scary stuff when you see people evacuating with fire literally 10, 15, 20 feet from your house and raging and being pushed by 60 and 80 mile an hour winds. I don't know if, you wouldn't wish that on your worst enemies. Now, people worry about a lot of different things of how our world's going to end. And I don't know if the world's ever going to end. I don't know that. But if the world is going to end, it's pretty clear to me that Mother Nature is going to do it. With hurricanes and earthquakes and fires and floods and tsunamis, when you see what that does to people, you know, we just evacuated 150,000 people in California. Where are they going to go? Where do they go? All those people in Puerto Rico, where do they go? A lot of them are right here in Florida. But, you know, to, you know, uproot and move that many people causes mayhem all over the place. So, you know, my hopes and prayers go out to everybody over there in Los Angeles that's going through all this craziness. I couldn't imagine going through that. I couldn't imagine uprooting and seeing what it's doing to my neighborhood. They had an NFL player that was watching TV, and he was away from his house. A lot of the players over there in L.A. had to be uprooted, and he's watching the news, and they're showing his neighborhood, and his house is on the ground. When your house is on the ground, that means there's nothing left, nothing in it left. And I couldn't imagine going through all that. You know, I was watching TMZ the other day, and the owner of the Edmonton Oilers just bought a new house in L.A. And I hope to hell for his sake that the fire doesn't go anywhere near his house. Actually, he paid so much damn money for it. I think it has a sprinkler system 5 mile radius around his house because the Edmonton Oilers owner, the hockey team, bought a house in L.A. for $120 million. Which is a record in Los Angeles. 6 acres. It's 6 acres in Malibu, which should tell you something. Just getting a half acre in Malibu is going to be a lot. But he has 6 acres in Malibu, $120 million he paid for it, $85 million in the house, and $35 million in the content. $35 million of content. Wow. And you can rent it for, you know, a mere $750,000 a month. So if you have $750,000 a month knocking around, you get a chance to hang out in that house for a month. Their swimming pool, 167 feet long is their swimming pool. Why not? I mean, why not if you have an $85 million house with $35 million of content? Who would want to have a 100-foot pool? You got to have a 167-foot pool. So those are the, that's what everybody in LA is worried about. Those are rich people problems, but fire is not just rich people problems. That is, that's everybody's problem right there. So I'm hoping for the best of everybody going through that crap over there in LA. Now, we have a lot of stuff going on here in our own little neighborhood. We just found the Seminole Killer, which is good. Allegedly, I'm still scared that the Seminole Heights Killer isn't the guy. And I don't know why. I think other people have that feeling as well. I'm hoping that he's the guy. I mean, I guess his cell phone was tracked to all four locations, which is good. I hope he's the only one dealing with it, because nothing would be worse than little old Seminole Heights having another killing tomorrow. That would be awful. And there's people that do copycat killings as well. Let's hope that's not the case. But the young man that got caught, his parents aren't speaking, and I don't blame him. I don't blame him. You know, you're put on earth to have kids and to protect your kids from whatever it may be. And I don't care whatever my kids do. I'm not going to abandon my kids. I'm always going to be on my kids' side. Not saying anything doesn't mean you condone anything. It just means you're not going to crucify your own kid. And you shouldn't have to crucify your own kid. So, you know, I'm hoping that he is a Seminole Heights killer and we don't have to deal with this stuff anymore, because, you know, I dealt with a lot of people in Seminole Heights and kind of hearing what they went through throughout the whole thing, and they're still going through. That's tough sledding, man. It's going to be a long time before Seminole Heights comes back completely, because Seminole Heights was known for, you know, a really cool hipster upcoming type place, and now it's known for the people, you know, a place where cats were getting murdered. And that's not exactly where you want to hang out a Friday night or a Saturday night. You know, even if you live in South Tampa. I live in South Tampa. Every once in a while, we used to say, hey, let's go to Seminole Heights and go to Ichikoro, or let's go to the Blind Tiger, or wherever it may be. Now, you know, we haven't said that in a while. So if you want to give back to your neighborhood or your community, Seminole Heights is back. It's coming back up. I know I saw the Lightning. A bunch of those players went out there representing the area. That's what Jeff Vinnick does. That's what he always does. So I'm happy to see Seminole Heights coming back. And a lot of those small companies definitely need your help. Now, the other day in Davenport, the mayor of Davenport, and it just seems like these days everybody's power tripping. It seems like everybody's tripping off of power. The mayor from Davenport, they have on video using a handicapped parking spot. Now, she got arrested. What was crazy about this was, the mayor of Davenport rolls into a handicapped spot. The two spots next to the handicapped spot were not taken. And she rolled up into the handicapped spot, jumped out, grabbed a big heavy piece of machinery, and lugged it out of there. Now, you're the mayor of Davenport. Don't you look like a horse's ass just by doing it? I hate to see somebody roll up, you know, into a handicapped spot and they're able-bodied. Even if you're a significant other or your father or your sister or whatever, if they're handicapped and they have a handicapped sticker or a tag, that doesn't give you the right to use it because it's in your car. You lazy SOB. So this lazy SOB, the mayor of Davenport, rolls up into the handicap, gets videotaped. She gets caught. She's arrested. Then they find out that she's using a pass from two people that are deceased. You're going to lose your job as mayor because you didn't want to walk 10 extra feet to the door? I mean, that's getting ridiculous. To me, I don't even know if that's lazy. I just think that's a power trip. I really do. I would almost equate that to some of these, you know, sexual offenders. Like a guy like Matt Lauer. Let me give Matt Lauer a little tongue lashing. Matt Lauer's probably right about a little older than me. I'm 50. Matt Lauer's in his 50s, I'm pretty sure. Good-looking dude, well-kept. Women love him. My wife loves Matt Lauer. Oh, I love Matt Lauer, and women love Matt Lauer. What are you taking it for? What are you strong-arming women for? Could Matt Lauer just kind of ease his way into some tail? And you have to have locks on your door if you're Matt Lauer? Now, Harvey Weinstein, I get it. He should lock every door he has because he's just a big old greasy this imposing looking bear who won't ever get any, but somebody like Matt Lauer, you're like, are you kidding me? When you hear Russell Simmons' name came up, Warren Moon's name comes up, there is no limit to the names that are going to surface here in the next little while. There's no limits. And everybody's scared. Everybody. There's people stepping down all over the place. Al Franken, he stepped down. Everybody said, yo, Al, it's been six people alleging this. You got to come down. Al Franken stepped down today. They're going to have that, you know, that election. If Roy Moore wins his election, everybody, if Roy, I want everybody to listen closely. If Roy Moore wins his election, this is what I don't want to hear anymore ever, that we live in the best country in the world. I'm being serious about that. If Roy Moore wins his election because the Republicans want to get a vote, then stop saying we live in the best country in the world, because that's something that we would obviously poo-poo if we heard from any other country but ours. And we're letting this crap slide. We're letting a guy who's a perpetual a kid toucher, an abuser of young kids, we're going to let him be in our Congress and make our decisions? I just don't understand it. I really don't. There's a lot of things in this world right now that I just don't understand. And what is that going to say about our country if Roy Moore is in Congress? Really, seriously. If you really think about it right now, with all the sexual allegations going on all around our country, you know who's one person that hasn't made one comment about anything yet? Our president. You know why? Can't throw stones in glass houses, yo. If you throw stones in glass houses, all the glass is going to break. And you know what he doesn't want to do? Donald Trump doesn't want anybody pulling up anything as far as sexual allegations in his world. His world is littered with sexual allegations. And also a tape of him saying, grab the girls in the pussy, by the way. And everybody wants to act like that was a normal act, saying, I just grab girls in the pussy. I'm just going to tell you right now, I've been around athletes. I've been around rich people. I've never heard anybody say anything, just anything like that. Not around me anyways. I really truly believe if anybody said that around me. Now, I'm going to say this. If Donald Trump said it and I was in a room and I didn't know Donald Trump, I wouldn't say anything. I would just look at him like, who wants to be around your old, graggly, old balls, disgusted ass, grabbing girls in the pee? That's disgusting. That's rape. And everybody, and the people that say, well, that's just the way people talk. Not in my world. I'm sorry. I wouldn't let anybody around me speak that way. And it just seems like that's okay now. It's just okay to be a rich person with power and insinuate you can do whatever you want with a young lady. And I think that's part of the problems with our country. Our country also has a problem right now with loyalty in general. And it's a money rich person thing. There's no doubt in my mind. I want you to listen to the, you know, discrepancies in the two things that I'm going to tell you. You'll have an African-American kid who's 18 years old that has no money and has no way of making money. And he's 18. His family, ass out. They live in the hood. They have no money. He's 18 years old. And he's good enough to play in the NBA. And our country is going to make him play basketball for 1 year. I want you to listen to that. Tell me any other... Well, actually, football's the other, okay? And unfortunately for white America, those are the only two black sports in the world, is football and basketball. That's it. And it's also the only two sports that make an athlete go to school. You come right out of high school and golf. You come right out of high school and play baseball. You come right out of high school and play hockey. You come right out of high school and play every other sport but football and basketball. Irony? Don't know. But you're going to make an 18-year-old kid who has the ability to make $1 million go to school for 1 year and waste his effing time. Because you can't tell me that if you're 18 and you have to go to school for 1 year and you go to Kentucky and you take 12 credits, that you're going to go to class. I wouldn't. You know what I would do? I'd go in the gym and shoot because that's where my money is. That's what school is for, is to have the ability to make money, not just to make somebody go there for nothing. Now, the NFL is different because nobody's going to be able to come out of the high school and play the NFL. I don't want to see anybody do that because they'll get killed, because it'll be boys and men. But for the NBA, there's been guys come right out of the NBA, come right out of high school into the NBA and be successful. LeBron, Moses Malone, there's been others, okay? But that's one side of the spectrum. Listen to the other side of the spectrum. You have a rich, little older than middle-aged man sitting in your son's living room. And the guy might be white, the guy might be black. He's going to sit in your kid's living room and look you in the eye and say, I want your kid to come to my school for 4 years. I'm going to make sure he's all right. I'm going to take care of him. That's my guy. And you're going to look at this coach in the face, whether it's Jimbo Fisher, whether it's Willie Taggart, whether it's Scott Frost, and these are all coaches that just left, and they just look people in the face and say, I got you. I got your kid. And then the next day flee somewhere else. That ain't American to me. It doesn't make sense. The kids don't make any money at all. The coach is the one making all the damn money. Endorsements, shoe contract, salary, the whole nine yards. And it just seems like the athlete is just getting cornholed from every single angle. Listen, for Scott Frost to go from UCF to Nebraska, I get it. I think that's inevitable. I think teams like UCF and teams like USF understand that this is a stepping stone to a bigger program. When you leave from Florida State and go to Texas A&M, you're just leaving. You're just leaving to alleviate pressure for me. Is Texas A&M better than Florida State? Maybe he's going to make more money. I don't know, but is it a better program? I don't know. I'm not sure. But there's sure a lot of coaches just bailing on programs. Urban Meyer bails, okay, on Florida and says, I have an ailment and I don't know if I'm going to coach again. And 2 days later, he's coaching for Ohio State. Come on, man. We just keep on letting these backstabbing coaches represent our kids, and that ain't the way to do it. That ain't the way to do it. And speaking about representing, the great Roger Goodell just signed a contract for 5 years, $200 million. And I said before on this show, and I said on my show today on 102.5 The Bone, he deserves every last bit of that money. He deserves every last bit of 5 years, $200 million, because that's the going rate. That's, you know, Jerry Jones last year made $800-something million. The lowest grossing NFL team made $300-something million. So $40 million a year is not crazy when you're babysitting 32 billionaires making hundreds of million dollars a year. That's not a big deal. Now, it's a spit in every player's mouth when you want insurance for a lifetime when you're making $40 million a year. Now, Ryan Shazier, the linebacker for the Pittsburgh Steelers, who may be paralyzed the rest of his life, or I don't know, he doesn't have insurance the rest of his life. You know what's going to happen? 5 years after he retires, which may be now, he'll have insurance for the next 5 years, and that's it. That's it. And Roger Goodell wants insurance for the rest of his life. You know what? Let him have the private jet. Screw him. That's fine. If I can get a private jet the rest of my life, I would do that too. But having insurance the rest of your life is spitting in my mouth, and every single player that ever played before, everyone. Oh, by the way, NFL, you still haven't admitted that numerous concussions are bad for your health later on. They're still doing what they can to not spend any damn money. And going back to Ryan Shazier, that Pittsburgh Steelers game, which was extremely violent, having played the game as long as I have and seen every injury, I've seen every injury, and I've watched so much film that I could usually watch a play and go, that guy either sprained his ankle, or he sprained his AC joint, or he sprained his MCL. I'm good at that because I've seen that much film. When watching that Pittsburgh Steelers game live, the second Ryan Shazier ducked his head, hit that player, and grabbed his back, I swear to you, I wish there was a video camera on me. I go, uh-oh. Like right away, when you hit somebody with your head down and you turn over and you grab your back, that means something really bad happened in your back immediately. And when he grabbed his back, then turned over, and then motioned to the sideline to come get me, that's not good. That's about as scary as can be. Because for everybody that complains about what NFL players make, you know, watch the guy laying on the field and, you know, how much is that worth? And then what are the odds of you getting paralyzed at your job? So, you know, I'm hoping the hell everything's fine with Ryan Shazier. By everything that I saw to this point, it doesn't look good because, first of all, when somebody's getting carted off the field and, you know, all in shackles, usually you want to give a thumbs up or make sure people that you love know you're okay. And when you have your hands over your face and you're getting carted off the field, you're obviously telling people around you that something's wrong. And something's definitely wrong with Ryan Shazier, who afterwards tweeted out that I appreciate all the love and prayers, but didn't say I'm okay. So I'm hoping to hell that Ryan Shazier is good, and he's a fantastic football player. But right now, as far as him playing late, I mean, football is secondary. And right now, that's not important. I'm just hoping that the kid's going to be able to have a normal life afterwards. Now, there's so many other things. There was a hit that went on in that Steelers game by Juju Schuster. A great name, Pittsburgh Steelers wide receiver. On Vontaze Burfict, who happens to be one of the bigger loudmouth, blowhard, I love him as a football player because he's badass, but he talks a lot of shit. He really does. So Juju Schuster peels back on Vontaze Burfict and knocks the hell out of him. Now, got a penalty and got suspended for a game. Completely disagree with that hit. Completely disagree with that. To me, that's one of the cleaner hits I've seen. And the problem with the NFL is that the NFL puts too much stock in the result of a hit. If Juju Schuster hits him and he pops back up, he goes, good hit, brother. You think he would have got suspended one game? No. The kid that hit the receiver in the end zone, spearing him, that should have took a game. But, you know, once again, receiver pops up, he's not hurt, no suspension. Now, Rob Gronkowski, what he did to that defensive back should have given him at least 3 games. For the ball to be dead and the play to be dead and for Rob Gronkowski to run up and forearm this kid in the back of the head and give him a concussion, wholeheartedly, he should have gotten 3 games. And in hockey, when you hurt somebody, say you slash somebody, you give them a concussion, and that player's out for 6 games. In hockey, you have to be out for 6 games as well. For you to maliciously attack somebody and for them to miss a game, to me, has to be more than 1 game. So there's so much stuff happening in that Monday night game, and there's so much happening throughout the NFL. The NFL is in a very peculiar place to where, you know, people are looking at the violence and not liking it. And you talk about something that could hurt the game of the NFL, it's that. The numbers are down. The NFL has to understand that when an NFL player fights, unlike any other sport, they're going to be called thugs and a lot of different things. For whatever reason that comes out of your mouth, I've never heard a NASCAR driver get called a thug for fighting, although they do. Hockey players don't get called thugs, but they do. Baseball players, but when a football player fights, they're thugs. And to me, when you talk about a sport and violence, other than hockey, which fighting's allowed, there's no other sport that comes close to having the violence of football. So the fact that there's not a lot of fights out there is really crazy. And when a football player fights, I mean, obviously you don't want to condone anything, but I get it. I truly get it. There's times out there where I had to fight. And I've always said that football is a 70 plays of 3-second fights. And if you can't last, that's tough sledding. So the NFL is in an odd position right now, and they got to figure out a way to clean things up. I don't know how they're going to do it, but it just seems like it's getting sloppy out there. There's sloppy play. There's injuries everywhere. I'm seeing concussions everywhere. Something's off with the NFL. Something's off. I mean, the product itself is still good, but there's too many stoppages and there's too much fringe stuff for me. Another thing that bothered me this week was the whole Eli Manning thing. Now, Eli Manning gets benched for Geno Smith, which, listen, Eli had 217 straight starts, I think it was, which is an amazing feat. He got benched for Geno Smith. You know, he sits for one game. Geno Smith doesn't play all that great. Then they fire the coach, they fire the GM, and then Eli Manning is a quarterback again. And everybody's like, oh, they messed and they disrespected Eli Manning. Let me tell you something, okay? You can't disrespect nobody. Eli Manning, to me, has had a great career. Borderline MVP. He ain't got it no more. If you watch Giants football, if you're a Giants fan, you're shaking your head thinking, Ian's right here. If you watch Giants football, Eli Manning gives it up. Does anybody understand what gives it up means? Sometimes Eli Manning's out there and all he's trying to do is not get hurt. That's called giving it up. We got other quarterbacks like our own Jameis Winston. You see Jameis Winston, he's getting sacked and he's falling and he's trying to throw the ball and he's doing all this crazy stuff. You touch Eli Manning and you breathe in his ear, he's hitting the ground. There was times this year I saw Eli Manning get sacked and he barely got touched. He's giving it up. So the funny part was when he got benched, you didn't hear a lot of belly aching. You really didn't. You know why? Because everybody's watching those film on Monday and they're going, look at Eli. Eli acting like a pussy. Playing terribly. And when he plays terribly, he looks terrible. He just looks like he don't give a crap. He's a bad loser. I'm not saying he's a whiner, but his face is whiny. After he got benched, they had microphones in his face and he looked like he was going to cry. And I'm okay with crying in sports, but I'm not going to feel sorry for him because you got benched. Eli Manning, before he got benched, the 25th ranked quarterback in the NFL. I'm supposed to feel bad for him? If I'm playing guard and I'm the 25th ranked right guard in the NFL, there's a good chance I get benched. And I didn't hear his teammates really bickering a whole lot right when he got benched. They bickered after they lost. They bickered after the GM and the coach got fired, but not so much before that. And it's amazing to me how people treat different athletes. And I get it. Everybody's acting like Eli Manning is untouchable because of his name and because of what he's done. Joe Montana got kicked to the curb. Everybody gets kicked to the curb. Everybody gets kicked to the curb eventually. And you have to understand, if you're his coach and you're his GM and you're watching film and he's playing like horse shit, why are you going to say, well, we better not bench him because everybody loves him? That's your ass. Obviously, they were skating on thin ice because they got fired the next day. They got fired right after that. So they obviously were on thin ice. So, you know, I didn't hear one person in all of the press. I listened to a lot of it. I didn't hear one person in all the press go, Eli Manning was playing like shit. Nobody said that. I'm saying it. Eli Manning was playing like shit. When you put the film on, it probably looked like shit. He deserved to get benched. If his name was something else other than Eli Manning, he'd have been benched. So then Eli Manning should get benched as well. Now, I always find a little time to talk a little politics when I do this because it's fun these days. I talked a little bit about Roy Moore, and if he gets elected, Al Franken had to step down. It's getting to a point now where when I'm watching CNN or MSNBC or Fox News or wherever it may be, I just feel like saying, does anybody tell the truth? Does anybody out there tell the truth? Because lying is just, it's the new black. Lying is a new black. Because lying is just the way, it's the American way now. Because if you listen to Trump, who, when this is all over, whether you're a Trump fan or not, he's going to go down as the biggest liar ever. Whether you're a fan of his or not, you keep on being a fan, that's fine. But you certainly cannot say he's not a liar. He is a liar, and he's been caught hundreds of times lying. Trump's a liar. Comey's a liar. Tillerson's a liar. Trump Jr.'s a liar. Hillary's a liar. Obama's a liar. Sarah Huckabee with the big eyes, a liar. They're all liars. Every last one. And they're all lying for each other. And they're all trying to cover each other's ass. They're all liars. All of them. And one day, all these lies are going to come together and you're going to go, holy smokes. I cannot believe how much lying was going on. If you remember right, way back when Pat Tillman died, Pat Tillman, American hero, left the NFL making $1 million and went to war to make nothing. American hero, he dies. And they had to lie to us about the way he died. Oh, Pat Tillman died as a hero, blah, blah. We find out it's friendly fire. There's nothing that I hear coming out of any politician's mouths to me that I really believe is true anymore. And that's just the way it is. The whole thing with everything that Donald Trump says now, unfortunately for me, makes me think, well, he's doing that for rich people somehow. I mean, that's just the way it is in my world. I'm sorry. That's the way my mind goes because it just seems that way. This whole thing about officially recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, I'm not quite sure what is happening there because when you Google capital of Israel, it's Jerusalem. And I don't understand why Donald Trump has to reiterate that it's the capital of Israel. And other people are saying, no, wait, I don't really understand this whole thing. Oh, I do know this. Other countries are pissed. And why? I'm not sure. All I know is we're causing a ruckus. Our country's causing a ruckus. And eventually, and listen closely, it's not a year in yet. Before Mr. Trump steps down or finishes his term or gets impeached or gets whatever, he's going to get him a war with his name on it. I promise you. He's going to get you a war with his name on it, and he's going to send every damn missile over there, and I wouldn't want to be on the other end of it because he's going to wipe every damn one of you out. So you better watch who's talking about anybody's mama because Donald Trump is waiting with his hand on the trigger. You know he is. He can't wait to bomb somebody. So I don't really know what's happening with this whole Jerusalem thing, but it seems like it's just the precursor of something. I don't know. But there's sure a lot of bomb talk in the world now. And I'd never heard bomb talk not one time in the previous 8 years. Not one time. Now it's like people are testing missiles and people have their feelings hurt and their butt hurt and I'm going to send a missile. And it just seems like that's the way of the world now. So, you know, we can keep on nitpicking and talking bad about people with missiles. And I would try not to. If I was Donald Trump, but then again, you ain't going to tell Donald Trump, Jack. And then I got to hear that, you know, I heard our president, the president of the United States, say that the FBI is in tatters. So the president of the United States says the FBI is in tatters. Okay, and if anybody disagree with me, please, you could email me at ianbeckles@radioinfluence.com. Please, I'd love for somebody to hit me up with this one. The last time I checked, or any time before this regime, aren't the FBI and the government in the same building? Aren't they supposed to be in cahoots? Aren't they supposed to be on the same team? Because right now, Donald Trump is basically saying that the CIA, their enemies, the FBI is enemies. He even wants us to think that Obama is our enemy. If you really listen to him talk, everything he does is demeaning Obama, who ran the same country you ran. So why is Obama supposed to be an enemy? He's not an enemy of mine. Donald Trump's not supposed to be an enemy of mine either. But he's trying to tell me that Obama is pretty much an enemy and everything he did was wrong and he's trying to undo everything. I thought we were all on the same page and I thought we were all on the same team, but I obviously I'm wrong. And heading forward, next year, 2018, put this one, write it down, is going to be a doozy because everything is ramping up for Armageddon, and I don't even know to what capacity, but everybody is wound up like a rubber band ready to snap. Everybody's wound up, and somebody's going to get an itchy trigger finger and maybe accidentally shoot something, and then bullets are going to come all over the place, and then it's going to be really, really ugly. And, you know, our president's instigating a lot of it because he's pissing a whole lot of people off, that's for sure. Anyways, I love you guys listening. It's been fun doing this, and I'm going to continue to do this. I also have a football podcast, In the Trenches, that comes out on Monday. The Buccaneers are playing the Lions this week. If you're looking for something to do, I'll be at the Backyard Company on Saturday from 1 to 3. I have Lions legend Al Bubba Baker is going to be in with me. I know Mike Calta is going to be sitting in for a while. And the great Ray Lampe is going to be my co-host as well. And the lovely Taylor will be there as well. So if you guys want to hang out at the Backyard Company in St. Petersburg, which is right next to Mazzaro's, I'll be there Saturday from 1 to 3. And then on Sunday, my show, Ian Beckel's show, will be on 102.5 The Bone from 11 to 1. And then our Buccaneers are going to play the Lions. And then we'll see where we go from there. But I appreciate you guys listening in. The numbers are good. The numbers are improving every single week. And I'm not going to stop doing this because it's fun. And I got to get all these things off my chest. So everybody have a wonderful week. And please be safe. Peace out.
To keep the conversation going, follow Ian on Twitter at Ian Beckles. And check out DignitaryRadio.com to get the latest on where you can find him next. This has been Ian Beckles, Flavor in Your Ear on Radio Influence.
Put the flavor in your ear, the voice of the people's here. It's in that flavor. Flavor. Bringing that flavor.
I'm Jerry Petuck, CEO of Radio Influence. I just wanted to take a quick moment to say thank you for downloading and subscribing to this podcast. There are a lot of people behind the scenes here at Radio Influence that work hard to keep you entertained day in and day out. If you'd like to get involved and advertise on this program, or you have some show ideas that you'd like to see us add to the Radio Influence family, please email us at contact@radioinfluence.com. We all have crazy schedules, so the fact that you took time out of your busy day to let us entertain you for a while means a lot. Without you, the listeners, we wouldn't exist, so thank you again for downloading and subscribing to this show. Don't forget to check out radioinfluence.com to see what other shows we also have to offer. All of Radio Influence's programming can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, radioinfluence.com.